The British government today unveils the biggest bank shakeup in a generation.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. There are some big banking changes on tap for financial firms in the UK, aimed at heading off yet another crisis. The key part of the plan is to separate retail banking from riskier investment banking. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us now from London with the latest. Hi, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
Is this then breaking up the big banks that are too big to fail so they don't have to be bailed out by the taxpayer?
No, this is halfway between that, breaking up the big universal banks and leaving them as they are. What this plan would do is ring-fence the retail banking part, the bit that's vital to the economy, mm-hmm. holding deposits, making loans and moving money around and so on. This plan will put a firewall between that and the risky investment banking, the trading in derivatives, for example, so that in a crisis, retail banking can be quickly hived off by the authorities and protected.
And will that, Stephen, actually prevent another financial meltdown?
Well, it won't prevent a crisis. It won't prevent a big investment banking operation blowing up within a universal bank. But bank analyst Ralph Silver of SRN says it would soften the blow to the taxpayers.
The amount that we need to save or to rescue the banks would actually be significantly less. So this is a compromise solution. And I think most of the banks will complain, but eventually they'll accept it.
And he says he thinks this could set an international trend. Other countries could follow suit. The US, for example, with big universal banks like Citigroup and Bank of America could go for this. But he says setting up this ring fence is going to be expensive. Who's going to pay? Not the bankers. It'll mean that retail banking is going to get quite a bit more expensive for the customers.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Let's do the numbers. Global markets are mostly lower right now, 0.5% or more in Europe. The government, the U.S. government, just reported consumer prices rose slightly in May, 0.2%. Food, clothing, and car prices all rose for the month, but by the slowest rate in 6 months. In Greece, police have fired tear gas at protesters on strike in the streets there, angry over more austerity measures. Yields, by the way, on two-year Greek debt have reached another record high today. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow... well, it's back above 12,000 after gaining 123 points yesterday. It closed at 12,076. There's a big conference going on today in suburban D.C. to look at the future of the U.S. Postal Service and whether, given the changes in the way we communicate these days, there's even a need for such an agency. Now, snail mail has competition from electronic mail and from UPS and FedEx, too, and that's put the post office in peril, Sally Herships reports.
Phil Herr keeps tabs on the Postal Service's financial conditions for the Government Accountability Office, and he sums things up this way.
There's less, quote-unquote, money in the mail.
More and more people are paying bills online, and with the recession, advertisers are sending fewer mailers. But it's hard for the Postal Service to lower costs. There may be less mail, but it still has to be delivered.
It's very costly to go to 131 million addresses 6 days a week.
So industry leaders are holding a conference, Postal Vision 2020, to brainstorm the service's future.
Clearly, it's going to have to do something different because it won't be delivering mail the way it is today in 10 years.
John Callen is managing director of industry consultant Ursa Major, the company running the conference. Google's vice president Vint Cerf is giving the keynote speech, and startups like online bill pay service Manila will also be there. With all this Silicon Valley presence, you might wonder if hungry tech companies have designs on the mail business. But John Callen says no. They're really there to help the Postal Service find a new approach.
These kind of companies think differently, and they think about open platforms, collaboration, and they encourage teamwork.
And teamwork may be one solution. The GAO's Phil Herr says many postal services in Europe are working with the private sector. They're moving into grocery stores and pharmacies and closing expensive standalone post offices. In the meantime, the U.S. Postal Service says it expects to lose over $8 billion this year. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Coverage of the economy is supported in part by the Schuman Center for Media and Democracy.
Next week, Tunisia's deposed president will be tried in absentia on embezzlement and drug smuggling charges. There are lots of global examples of politicians lining their pockets at taxpayer expense. In Britain, some members of parliament were jailed for claiming stipends they weren't entitled to. And in Tanzania, a similar scandal has some lawmakers wanting to give back what they say are their ill-gotten gains. The BBC's Louise Redver reports.
Tanzania is one of Africa's poorest countries, where millions live on the breadline without access to running water or electricity. But despite these pressing needs, according to the main opposition party, 13% of the country's budget is spent on stipends for members of parliament. Zito Kabwe is deputy secretary of the main opposition Chadema party. He's launched a campaign to give up what is called his daily sitting allowance of $50, which he receives for attending meetings in parliament on top of his main salary. The money, he says, should be diverted to charity work and social funds instead.
Our country is very poor.
Our country is very poor. More than a third of Tanzanians live below the poverty line. So the politicians have to show the way by cutting these expenses. They're very unnecessary. And direct the money to development work.
Kabwe's idea has sparked much debate in the Tanzanian parliament, although most lawmakers appear to support the motion. But this week, the clerk of the National Assembly told members that once they get the money into their personal accounts, they can spend it any way they wish, including on charity work. In South Africa, I'm the BBC's Louise Redfers for Marketplace.
And finally, bed bugs have finally hit the big time in the nuisance category, the tiny itchy pests. Now have insurance policies working against them in New York. That's where hotel owners and landlords have been paying big bucks to get rid of the bugs and have suffered millions of dollars in business losses. Big insurer Aon will offer those policies. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
22 million people use illegal drugs in this country every year, and that kind of demand inevitably produces a profitable supply.
I think that Mexicans get a bad rap, and while a lot of the stuff is coming across the border, it's our demand that's pushing it here, you know?
I'm Kai Rizdal, rethinking the economics of the war on drugs. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.